Welcome back. It's time for the Jeff and Erica COVID Chronicle update. Third of the week. We've been doing this now for a long time, and we have never run out of new material, basically, to cover new angles. Things are beginning to become more relatively accessible to the masses, who in many cases honestly couldn't care much less. They're overwhelmed with chaos and news and war and famine and financial this and financial that. The economy is diving. The whole political system we used to rely upon to maintain some kind of relative order out of chaos is obviously corrupted beyond repair. The country is a mess. It's been taken down. I think that's keeping most people on the sidelines where they should be actually stepping forward. How many people have died now and there's still nothing of any substance being done about it? Not even one vigilante action. I'm not encouraging that, make no mistake. But you'd think someone's had a child or a spouse killed by these shots and the opposite spouse did not take it, and they know, that they'd go after the people who were behind mandating, forcing, coercing the dead one to take the shot, the injection. And nothing yet. So we'll see. 13 billion shots have been given out now on the planet. That's pretty damn bad. 600 million approximately here in the U.S. That's awful. The number of fully vaxxed in the U.S. is around, 75%? What were we talking about this the other day? 70% at least fully vaxxed here.
Yeah,
least.
I would say so. That's probably accurate.
And that used to mean two shots and a booster, and I think it still does, but there's more to it than that. It's just crazy. And against all this, as a backdrop, has science learned anything to the extent that there's a damper been put on messing with Mother Nature and creating new viruses? And doing research in the synthetic field of deadly viral development, has that slowed down any? No chance. We're going to talk about that tonight as well. So science really hasn't learned. Science is bought and paid for, bribed, blackmailed. And if science doesn't get along, scientists are removed. They're just killed. They're gone. And we've lost some good ones who are obviously very close to some major announcements. The bottom line is the general mass of humanity is not going to stop this, turn it around. It's too late. The 13 billion injections have been made, 600 million in the U.S., and there are people still taking these shots. The new one is slow, but it's still being injected. So we have a situation where things are not going to change. They're getting worse. We do sense a growing number of people who are now manifesting terminal physiological decline and issues. People are dying all the time, young people, old people. I had an email from a listener today. Don't think I could even find it. But he said to a friend had a 29-year-old son who just didn't wake up. 29. Shot up. Gone. People are dying in huge numbers now, and it's being covered up. We can expect more of that. That's the way they're going to play this out. Nothing surprising there. But what is it about humankind that no matter how dangerous or deadly it is, it's either for the money or for the thrill of the expedition into the unknown, that people will somehow, some way, explore anything or develop it, even if it could mean the end of all life on the planet? That's what people do.
Well, there's money involved in this because, you know, when you make people sick, they don't know why they're sick.
You have to treat them.
Right. You know, so you accomplish two things. You keep them subdued, and then Dependent on health care.
And we must honestly add that the current state of health care regarding people who have been injected and who have been injured or who have had the virus and never fully gotten over it. And believe me, that's usually the case. They don't get over it fully. They have nowhere to go. Modern medicine is completely inept and incapable, in this country at least, Western medicine, to deal with this. And I guess the simple way to answer the question why not is there's really nothing they can do. The assault on the body and the whole life of biophysiology is so huge that what could they do except go through their inventory of testing, got to have this test, got to have that test, run up $100,000 in tests and say, well, everything's negative. I mean, this is
well,
the kind of thing that's happening.
In some of the prominent researchers, Bruce Patterson comes to mind. He was one of the first one to champion the use of Maraviroc, which is an HIV drug, to help deal with, in some instances, people who have had the virus and are having trouble getting over it. But what I've noticed with their therapies is they target very, very specific parts of the inflammatory response. You know, I want to call it precision medicine, but so there's really no one therapy that's going to fit or suit everybody. So that would involve, having a full panel of cytokine profiles and T cell subsets. I mean, all kinds of things, testing and then narrowing it down to, just
the panorama of damage
that can be targeted.
Right.
And these are very, very expensive, in most cases, patented pharmaceuticals.
Yes. And it's wiping people out financially to try to overcome something that is not something that can be surmounted. You got tagged with this, and you're in trouble. And there are so many different ways, we've been saying this forever, that this thing will reach out and begin to upset and tip over the whole cohesion we call life. It's tearing it apart. Many different ways. And as you say, the so-called protocol of treatment is not really a cure. It's a symptomatic relief treatment regimen. And it'll be different from most everybody because the range of symptoms from the range of damages that these injections have done and the virus is huge. You can't just go to a bottle of aspirin.
I think you probably could do some more foundational detective work to find out what the body is reacting to, why it's behaving this way, because the body doesn't really do anything unintelligently. It's just reacting to something to try to save
you. It's trying.
But this is going to be treated just like cancer. Allopathic medicine doesn't really cure cancer. They deal with the symptom, the tumor. They'll cut it out, they'll burn it out, they'll poison it. And if they manage to make that go away, then they declare you cured, when in reality, that cancer has a high probability of coming back or another cancer because, it's really the metabolism of the body that is creating the environment for cancer to grow. So if you don't change your metabolism to one that's not going to support the growth of cancer, well, you'll be battling it forever.
As Rife said and others have said, the human body, just think of it as a petri dish. And however that petri dish medium in the dish is constituted and configured, things will grow. And if you think of your body as a petri dish and it's filthy or dirty or polluted in one way, you're going to get a certain range of reactions we call dis-ease if you're reconfigured in another way. So what Eric is saying is quite correct. You have to clean the petri dish, reorganize everything, and reestablish a bedrock of normal health. Unfortunately, with these biological weapon injections now, that's kind of out the window because we're seeing things, the body's seeing things it has never seen before. That's the whole idea of a bioweapon.
Well, and all the effort that was being put into keeping latent viruses in check, battling opportunistic pathogens, bacteria.
Right.
The body does not now have the wherewithal to contend with everything that's been thrown at it.
No, it doesn't.
These genetic transfections devastate the immune system so that it loses the ability to, you know, ward off these other opportunistic infections, surveilling for cancer. You know, it's not a mystery why any of this is happening now.
No, shouldn't be. Not to anybody who's paying attention. Shouldn't be. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't know still.
Well, and the doctors seem to lead the pack. You know, if you look at the headlines,
they're
doctors
scary.
Are mystified at the uptick in colon cancer.
I'm sorry. No, they shouldn't be mystified about any of this. No. All right, here's another issue we've been... Please go back and listen to our program on brain death from prions. This prion angle is enormous, and it's beginning to take on even more profound implications all the time. It's like this may be the final push that this bioweapon was designed to do. Create prion infestation of the brain, and you're gone. You're gone. And the neurology, but specifically the brain. We're getting CJD cases, which, remember, there's a big basket of them, and they're prion diseases. Whether you call them mad cow or mad deer, it doesn't matter. It's still the prion diseases. Prions now, and they're proteins, prions now look to be possibly taking on a configuration that they're the big final boot on the neck of the victim. Prions.
Right. And you know, the fact that there's a latency period, usually, I mean, we have had some fast-acting, rapid-onset cases of CJD since these things were rolled out. But in general, there can be several months to years of incubation before any symptoms are shown.
That's traditional, but we suspect there's a turbo factor now that may apply to CJD.
I wouldn't say that's necessarily so. You know, we have seen some, but many, many people, we don't know who, may be incubating these things right now.
Oh, I think they are. Oh, I think that's a given. I think it's building
so
and growing.
I mean, I wouldn't call that rapid onset. It may be happening. You know, these cases that they had in the U.K. from
there are some
the contaminated that, meat
remember the
took
one
several
that
years
just,
to manifest.
Yes. That's to be expected, especially if it's coming from meat. If it's coming from the injections, I don't know what to think. We had the story the other day of diagnosis to death in that woman's husband, 5 weeks. That's awfully fast.
Well, there have been, prior to all of this, there were cases of probably 6 weeks. I mean, that was one of the features of this disease, that it seems to come out of nowhere, when in reality it's been festering for some time. And then by the time symptoms manifest, that disease is so far advanced that the person only has, in some cases, weeks.
Well, it's like finding stage 4 cancer all of a sudden, out of the blue.
Right, right.
I think it's fair to say that many, and I'm not into fear mongering or fear porn, but many, many people who have taken these injections are in fact right now growing Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, CJD. I think it's
possible.
Probable that it's growing. Possible?
The number of neurological complaints, you know, in these people who have received the injections is staggering. You know, it usually starts with some kind of dysautonomia, like POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, or, you know, dizziness, hypotension. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a whole constellation of symptoms that are associated when the autonomic nervous system doesn't function normally.
What should we assign a time frame to CJD? What period of time would fit a normal period of time diagnosis to death of CJD? What's being
well? If we're talking about symptoms, it can be as short as 6 weeks. But with these shots, we've seen 2 weeks. We've seen 4 weeks.
Right. Well, this is what I was alluding to earlier. We're getting a whole new dynamic to this, It's not the normal long term. If it's within a year of getting a shot and you end up with CJD and you're dead or whatever, that's fast to me, given what
well, when
my
they
experience
did that
has
was,
been.
You know, when they were first doing the research on this organ or organism, this prion, and they didn't know what they were dealing with, all they could do is take some brain homogenate and inject it into animals. It took about a year
right.
for symptoms, and that's injecting it directly into the brain.
Not a fun thing to even contemplate. All right, Dr. John Campbell is talking about a new brain virus, created in China, and he got hold of a paper on it, and he's going to explain it. But that, again, is another instance of humankind going where there's no reason for this. Why? Because they can. Not good enough for me. Leave it alone. What are these people doing? When do you hear this? I think a lot of you are going to be shocked and maybe, at least rhetorically, ask the same question. Why are they doing this? And remember, this is just one that was published. And I submit that the black ops boys and girls have created a lot of different pathogens that can wipe out most all life on the planet. I came across two in the mid-90s when I started this program, and I had found them about 4 years, 5 years before that. Two different. One was a bacteria, and one was a mold or a fungus, and both would annihilate all life on the planet. And these were invented at universities. I used to have the story. I don't know where it is now, but yeah. All right, here we go. This is Dr. John Campbell. He's not an MD. He's a PhD nurse, very well informed, and he presents it very logically. He's very good. So here we go. Dr. Campbell.
Warm welcome to today's talk. It's Thursday, the 11th of January. Now, last week there was published some really concerning research from China. What the researchers did was they got a virus from a pangolin. That's these charming little creatures that are so abused throughout Eastern Asia particularly. They took a virus from the pangolin and they cultured it in cells in the laboratory. And they then infected mice with it, and it killed all of the mice that it infected through brain infection.
Prion-like brain infection. All of them 100% dead. And they got it from, originally, the pangolin. This is a synthetic virus. And for those who are listening, and there may be some who have bought into the argument that there are no such things as viruses, well, maybe this will help you change your tune on that.
They've generated this new virus that kills 100% of mice it's infected with, but it gets worse. Because the mice that were infected were humanized mice. Now, these are called transgenic mice. In other words, they were given some human genes. And they were given human ACE receptor genes that were expressed by the mouse. So these are essentially human ACE receptors in genes. And it was a coronavirus from the pangolin, and it killed 100% of the mice that were infected. And these are the things that they are jiggling around with in laboratories.
So here we are. We're back to coronavirus and 100% fatality rate with a synthetic virus, an engineered virus. And I ask again, why are they doing this? Why don't they concentrate on something positive? This is, by definition, this is pretty damn negative. Any thoughts on this?
Well, you know, they're using the excuse that, well, you know, we're anticipating or preparing for the potential when these things
jump
species. We've got to
build a defensive weapon.
Well, not a weapon. They won't mention that, but they want to be prepared in case, you know, this thing comes out of the jungle, out of the pangolin, and somehow infects humans and then causes a pandemic. But in reality, they're weaponizing these things. They're weaponizing biology.
They tried to blame the pangolin early on with the bat.
That's right.
For the coronavirus. The pangolin was one of the, I think it was the second victim that they named, or guilty party. But no, they're still playing with pangolins, and And coronaviruses and tweaking them.
And bats and, yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Crazy. Insanity. It's like we have a death wish as a species at some level.
This is absolute madness. And it needs to be banned yesterday, as far as I'm concerned. The only reason I can see for doing this kind of research, the only reason I can see is as biological weapons. I really can't see anything else. So that sounds melodramatic. The researchers say it's because they're worried about spillover infection. But of course, they created the virus in the first place, in their cell lines, in the laboratory. So it's not a virus that's in nature to spill over into human populations. So we've got a situation where they created a virus or generated a virus. It's not that they synthesized it together. It just evolved in their cell cultures in the lab. That killed 100% of the humanized mice, brain virus disease. Now, they don't say whether they've tested it on humans or not, but given that it was affecting human ACE2 receptors, I think the probability is it would cause viral brain death in the vast majority of human beings that it infected. This research, to me, is just an existential threat to humanity. It really has to be stopped. Because the record of labs leaking all over the place, you were just reminded of a sieve. Anyway, let's give you the details and you can make your own mind up. I've told you what I think, but this is the paper here. It's a preprint, lethal infection of human ACE2 receptors in transgenic mice.
This video is right under our names and guests, so you can take a look at it later and review it. If you'd like, it's right there.
So let's look at it in some detail now. So lethal infection. So it kills 100% of the mice that it infects. But remember, these are humanized mice with human genes expressing human type ACE2 receptors, which, of course, is the receptor that the coronavirus binds into. But this is a different coronavirus, of course. Infecting a human ACE2 receptor transgenic mice bred up with humans, which we can seriously question the ethics of this as well. What are the ethics of putting human genes into mice? I think that's an open question. Let me know what you think. I'm pretty I can see why they do it. They're still mice, but they're expressing human proteins, human receptor sites. Let me know how you feel about that. I feel somewhat uncomfortable about that, I must say. So caused by a SARS coronavirus 2 related. So it's not the SARS coronavirus 2, it's related. It's from these pangolins, these ant-eating type creatures that are so abused in Asia for their blood. Coronavirus, and this is the name of the virus, GX, underline P2V. Not a very trendy name, but there you go. Published on the 4th of January. There's the links. Check it out for yourself. SARS coronavirus 2 related pangolin coronavirus, GX, we'll just call it GX from now on, shall we, can cause 100% mortality in human ACE2 transgenic mice. 100% is one more than 99. It meant it killed them all. A virus that went into the brain and caused death through viral brain disease. I'm very uncomfortable with this. Very, very uncomfortable with this. Potentially attributed to late stage brain infection. So brain infection. This is direct from the authors, of course. Brain infection is the problem. This underscores a spillover risk. Well, a spillover would be a natural spillover. So a spillover would be that the virus comes from the animal, spills over into humans, and causes an infection. And that's what these scientists are worried about, according to what they've written in the paper.
If they're really worried about it, why are they doing this kind of work? And with the leaky labs that we know about, and what level lab was this work even done? I think he guessed it was a BSL-2 level lab, which is not where you'd want something like this.
I agree. I think it is a level 2.
So explain briefly. Now, we understand about protein prions in the brain. How would the virus act in such a way as to stimulate prion disaster in the brain? You get any of that?
It wouldn't necessarily
yet?
Have to be a prion. I mean, rabies, for example. gets into the brain and causes death. You know, other viruses, you know, herpes can get into the brain and cause death.
Got it. All right. Herpes. That remains a player on this big game board.
Oh, yeah. Herpes. Yeah.
Don't discount herpes. It's definitely a player. All right, let's go back here and see where we are. Hold on, I need to go a little bit further here. 56. Okay, there we go. Now, he's going to talk about that this new virus, according to the paper, can infect the transgenic humanized mice, it certainly can, in all logical likelihood, infect us very quickly and very fast the same way. Highly transmissible via exhalation, coughing, sneezing. And if you've been out and about and you hear people coughing or sneezing, get away as quickly as you can. And by all means, consider wearing a mask if you haven't. That's our best suggestion for you. Minimize the amount of particulates that are going to go into your lungs and your bloodstream with a mask. At least try. Give it your best shot.
Yeah.
This whole thing is, to me, is he said it was quite mad. It's insanity, this kind of work. And this is what they're publishing. This is what we know about. Not what's going on behind closed doors and the black ops labs all around.
Mm.
We had over 40 bioweapons labs that this country was funding in Ukraine. For what? To kill people. Not to heal people. Not to help. To kill people. That's what bioweapons by design are supposed to do.
Yep.
It is immensely probable that it would infect humans very readily, as far as I can tell. Dealing with a dangerous virus. High viral loads detected in both the lungs and the brain tissue. Now, the fact that high viral loads were detected in the lungs means that the virus would have been breathed out by the mice. It was also detected in the nose. So we're dealing with a virus here that kills the brain, kills the organism through brain damage, but grows in the mouth and the lungs, therefore can spread. So we're dealing with a transmissible, respiratory transmissible, presumably droplet and aerosol, transmissible virus that can kill the brain. This is what they're playing around with. The infection resulted in 100% mortality in these humanized mice. 100% humanized mice. We surmise that the cause of death may be linked to the occurrence of late brain infection. So it's caused by brain infection, they believe. All the mice that are infected with the live virus succumb to infection within 7 to 8 days post-inoculation. It is quite possible. I'm not interested in scaremongering. It's just, it is possible that a virus that is readily spread, like SARS coronavirus 2, could have a massively higher case fatality rate, infection fatality rate. That is quite possible. And quite frightening.
And what's in the news headlines today? They're having meetings now talking about the next one, Disease X. And they're saying it may have a 20 times higher case fatality rate than COVID-19. 20 times higher. What are they doing? They're having, this is the World Health Organization, et cetera, the big shots, World Economic Forum, Disease X, and how to get ready for it. Come on, you all have been listening long enough. You can figure that one out. This is coming. I don't know if they'll even need it, but maybe they want to accelerate the process of cleaning the planet of this two-legged species. Hard to know. Anything you want to jump in on here?
No, I'd say you're right. That is the plan.
And as usual, they're telling us. All right, here we go.
Certainly possible, especially if these viruses being selected specifically for that purpose. So if you were a military planner, you might think, oh, this is an interesting virus. It's spread through the air. We could just drop it off in country X from country B or wherever it was. And it would just kill everyone for us. Then we can just move in. All the buildings would be nice and empty. It's really quite terrifying, the potential here.
Well, what's the other side of that coin? You drop it on country X and kill all the people. How do you prevent it from coming home and killing all of your people unless you have an antidote, which is another issue that should be talked about more in terms of bioweapon deployment? But it's you don't hear much about it. Big secret, that's why.
All the mice that were infected died within 7 to 8 days, rendering 100% mortality. Now, 5 days post-infection, they got a decrease in body weight, so they're starting to sicken after 5 days. Relatively long incubation period for these viruses. 7 days post-infection, the hair started standing on end, piloerection, hunched posture. That indicates to me something wrong with the nervous system. If you've got this hunched posture, it's a nervous system thing, I think. Sluggish movements also indicates nervous system involvement. Eyes turn white. They don't say why the eyes turn white. It doesn't sound very good.
So he's talking about the symptomology in the mice who were intentionally infected with this new Chinese virus. It's crazy. This whole line of research, to me, is insane. And I when I saw those other stories I mentioned earlier, one was from New Zealand, one was from UC Davis or something like that in California. One was a bacterium, and one was a mold or a fungus. And both were kept very highly secured. They were created. They weren't natural. And they would kill virtually all life on the planet. It's a big story. It was quickly covered up, too.
That's all we know. That's all it says in the paper. They infected 8 mice, 8 with humanized ACE2 receptors, 8 mice inoculated with inactivated virus, 8 mice mock infected. So it was a good, reasonably conducted study. Small numbers, of course, but still 100% of these ones died. Every single one of them. Right. So they dissected some mice after 3 days and after 6 days. They did a quantitative analysis of the viral RNA and the amount of that's basically the quantitative amount of the virus in the tissues. Significant amount of RNA viruses in the brain, of course, because it kills the brain, the lungs, so they could breathe it out, turbinate in the nose, eyes, so it could be in the tears, and trachea, so it could be breathed out as well. This just screams out to me respiratory infective virus. That's why this is particularly frightening. It could so easily get out of the lab because we know it's happened before. No or low amounts of viral RNA, so didn't seem to affect the heart so much, the liver, the spleen, the kidneys, the tongue, the stomach, and the intestines didn't seem to be particularly infected. Now,
this was targeted for the brain. The scientists behind this were not looking to damage the heart, liver, spleen, etc. This was a brain killer. And I often think about people working in these labs, let's say somebody had a real psychological problem and had a very bad hair day. I mean, what's to keep them from taking something like this out and turning it loose to get even with everybody? This has probably happened, not with this deadly of a viral development, but I don't trust any of this stuff. The security of it, I don't. No. It's
yeah,
crazy.
I agree. There's a lot of risk here.
Samples. High viral RNA load after 3 to 6 days. So on days 3 and day 6. So that means that these people would be, or these mice would be infected for at least 3 days. So bad symptoms developed on day 5, but day 3 and day 4, they could be feeling reasonably okay and infect others. Sort of pre-symptomatic spread. Day 5.
I want to make sure you understand that they didn't inject every mouse. They infected some of them, and the mice transmitted it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All the colony, the whole mouse, the little mouse house, they all died. And they were not all injected. And not good.
Start feeling ill, but they'll still be infectious on day six. Can you see this kind of a bad combination that this virus has happened to crop up? Viral antigens also detected. In other words, they're able to detect the virus itself and the viral RNA. And these two were consistent. So there was the viral RNA and the virus proteins themselves. I think it was the nucleocapsid protein they tested for. So pretty certain that the virus is in these tissues. Viral load in the lungs decreased significantly after day six. So it looks like they're infected from day three to day six. Lungs showed minimal inflammation. So they weren't dying of lung disease. The lungs were showing minimal inflammation, but the virus was present in large amounts in the lungs, so they could breathe it out. But the virus was present in higher amounts in the brain, and it was the brain that it was damaging, killing the mice.
Targeting the brain. Very concerned about prions coming from the spike. This is not good.
Well, you know, we have a virus right now, this SARS-CoV-2, that does get into the brain.
Sure,
you know, there's quite a bit of published research showing that now. And even in mild cases, what people thought were mild cases, you can actually see significant changes on a brain MRI.
Well, all right, just a little footnote on brain infection here from Dr. John Campbell.
Now, it was detected in all infected mice in the brain. This is going to the brain, unlike SARS coronavirus 2. This is a brain disease. Shrunken neurons visible in the cerebral cortex on microscopy. That's the outside part of the brain, of course. The cortex is the outside of an organ. Viral antigens also detected. So again, detecting the RNA, detecting the nucleocapsid protein as well. So the virus definitely in the brain. Day six post-infection, exceptionally high levels of RNA. So this is very large amounts, actually. It's log scale. Huge amounts of RNA virus in the brain, in all infected mice. Focal lymphocyte inflammation around the blood vessels. Lymphocytes, of course, are the classic cell that combats viral infection. So again, highly, proves basically the viral infection in the brain because of this lymphocyte infiltration. Severe brain infection during later stages of infection may be the key cause of death in the mice, they say. To the best of our knowledge, this is the first report showing SARS coronavirus 2 related pangolin coronavirus causes 100% mortality in humanized mice.
Okay, there's one more little clip. But just ask yourself, is this the only research in the world along these lines of endeavor? No. Your tax dollars are paying for lots of it. You'll never find out. I don't know how this species has made it as long as it has. And when you look back at what happened to Atlantis, allegedly, and precursor civilizations before that, maybe they got to the point where they had technology to play with like this, like we're seeing now.
You wonder.
I'm just. All right, here's one more clip about ethics, which is kind of interesting. These scientists, and the word is philanthropy. Let's see what he says.
The authors go on to say, suggesting a risk of this GP virus from the pangolins spill over into humans. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because this virus was created in your lab. How can a virus that's not in the natural environment, but is in a lab, spill over from the natural environment to the human population when it's not in the natural environment? I don't see how spillover infection is possible. I see that a lab leak is possible. Don't see that spillover infection is impossible. So I'm sorry, I'm not buying that one. I'm not buying this philanthropic, oh, we're doing this for the potential future good of humanity. Don't buy it. Might be true, but I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all.
Okay, neither are we. There's just no goodwill in something like this. Not.
No. But it's not going to stop.
They're going to keep going until they either get rid of their targeted population with the SARS-CoV-2 synthetic virus are these hideously debilitating and destructive injections they're trying to call a vaccine, or we'll have something else rolled out. And they're talking about disease X now. And they're also talking about Ebola and other hemorrhagics. So we really are at the mercy of satanically evil people. And all of you listening right now who are vaxxed, injured, you are living testimonials to exactly that. The people who are behind all this, start with Fauci and go to Trump and work your way right on forward, they are evil. And there's no punishment that's, in my view, too severe for this kind of insanity. All orchestrated, all contrived, all directed, all deployed, all intentionally. Okay, let's go and take a look at some of our files on real human beings fighting real injuries and having a really tough time of it. It's not easy out there. And we think about this a lot. It's awful. All right. Let's go to the third group down. And we have, number two there is autoimmune diseases. You see it on...
Yep, I see it.
See, then now this goes back to what Erica's been saying for a long time about inflammation in the body and how damaging it is and what a terrible alarm signal it actually is. It's bad. Go ahead. Let's see what we get with this one. You're up.
A quick lesson about autoimmune diseases. It takes an average of 3 years and five doctors for a person to get a proper diagnosis of an autoimmune disease. I just wish more people understood what an autoimmune disease is. It is not a cold or the flu. You will never get better. Even a nap will not help. Just eating a salad and hitting the gym won't slim your face or get the pounds off. Sleeping 10 hours doesn't leave you well rested, ever. Last minute changes in plans because that just got ran over feeling, achy joints and bones, dry skin, breaking hair, mood swings, and depression are just the tip of the iceberg.
That's an interesting expression. Just got ran over feeling by a car. That's pretty awful when you think about it. Go ahead.
You are also prone to having multiple autoimmune diseases. The put together on the outside rarely matches the raging battle on the inside. I'm watching the ones who will take the time to read this entire post and react. Please, in honor of someone who is fighting APS, that's antiphospholipid syndrome, Graves' disease, myasthenia gravis, POTS, MCAD, Sjogren's, HS, scleroderma, Hashimoto's, hypothyroidism, ankylosing spondylitis, fibromyalgia, lupus, ITP, sarcoidosis, CVID, RSDS, rheumatoid arthritis, hepatitis, Raynaud's syndrome, diabetes, mold illness, celiac, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, pemphigus, neuropathy, SPS, MS, PBC, psoriatic arthritis, CIDP, Behcet's, alopecia, MMN, GPA, and PMR. Unfortunately, most of us know someone fighting one or more of these autoimmune diseases.
Unreal. It's really out of control. Crazy. All right, here's one, and this has to do with people who are emotionally just devastated with this. I can't imagine having to deal with this every day, whether it's an autoimmune issue like you just mentioned or heart disease. Here's one, speaking of heart issues. I'm really struggling with the loneliness of having chronic myocarditis and pericarditis from the vaccine. I look fine on the outside, so nobody understands. My brother yelled at me yesterday that the whole family is sick and tired of me and my heart inflammation, and then rolled his eyes. I felt like that was such a hurtful and cruel thing to say. Well, it was. All because I said I didn't think I was going to be able to make it to a New Year's Eve party because I'm dealing with a pain flare-up now. Sorry for the rant, but it just breaks my heart sometimes. It's been 2 years now. I've stayed strong, but today I feel like I'm crumbling to pieces, especially after my brother being so nasty and mean. Someone says, I'm in the same boat. I don't know how many more ways I can say. I'm in an immense amount of chest pain. Been to ED, the emergency room, I guess, 5 times this month. Yet friends are inviting me out, telling me, breathe, just breathe. And then a day later said, you feeling better? Or my family inviting me over, like, come to me. They can see how bad I am, but no one understands. 2 years for me like this as well. And the last one, someone invites, this is, I think, the first poster.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you for the words of support. Sorry it's been so long for you too. And yes, my family are like, why don't you just go out with some friends and you'll feel better? They don't get that. After I shower and get dressed, my heart has done the same as running a marathon, and I need to lie down for a couple of hours just to get my breathing back to normal and heart rate down. It's exhausting trying to explain the same thing over and over again. That is. This is just taking people down and down and down. And eventually they're going to get to a point where, and it's understandable, they're going to want to quit. They're going to want to give up. I'm just done with it. All right, we got dental issues up next.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Does anyone else have massive enamel erosion since the start of the downhill health problems after the vax? I have so many cavities from the last few months and now nerve pain. I'm so depressed. It's just one health issue after another. And there were a lot of replies to this. So, yeah, the injection has altered people's metabolism so that their teeth are really compromised now. Someone says, yes, I am having a severe problem too. My enamel is making actually little ruts in my teeth. And also I have a small sliver that comes off of my front tooth. So I don't know why, but something is not going well, and I've never had this kind of teeth problem in my life. And original.
But doesn't that
says,
suggest?
Yeah.
That, go ahead.
Yeah, it's alarming.
Doesn't that suggest some kind of biochemical change to cause
yes.
teeth enamel to degrade? This is a big deal. There's so many big deals regarding this and the damage it causes. It's just crazy.
In some cases, they're not producing enough saliva. Saliva has a protective effect if it's, you know, of the right pH to buffer
right.
the acid so that the enamel doesn't get worn away. And, you know, inflammation in general is catabolic, and that would include even your teeth if it's extreme enough and prolonged enough.
Right.
And let's not forget also the microcirculation that feeds the gums.
Yep.
Is also compromised.
And the nerve and the tooth, too.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead with the next one. I think we can fit these in.
I have 3 cavities in 6 months. This is a big departure because I've always had great teeth. I think it is due to the dry mouth from the vaccine. Dr. Mailson, who is an internationally recognized expert on vaccine injuries, said the injuries can cause dry mouth. Due to the dry mouth, I was tested for Sjogren's, but the lip biopsy was negative. Does anyone know of a good product to combat dry mouth, especially overnight while sleeping? Original poster says, yeah, that's interesting because I was having that same problem, dry eyes and mouth. Have you had the test for early Sjogren's syndrome? It's a special blood test. Everything was negative for me until they did that one. And another one, since the vaccine, I have had mildly elevated Sjogren's B autoantibody. Sjogren's A is normal, so I haven't met the diagnostic criteria for Sjogren's disease. Did you get Sjogren's after the vaccine? And another one, lots of dental decay. My former dentist, now retired, used to joke with me that he never made money off my teeth. I have now lost 3 crowns and have a tooth slowly falling apart. And the question is, do you know why? I believe it is the vax. No issues at all before. If you search this site, there was an article about it. I haven't seen it in a while.
All right, just one more. Let's try and work this last one. This is about dental issues post-vax. And there may be dental issues post-viral infection. My teeth, front and bottom, have a translucent opacity to them after my second COVID infection. More dry mouth, too. I switched toothpaste to Sensodyne and mouthwash to Biotene. Occasional oil pulling with coconut oil. What is oil pulling? I don't know what that is. Anyway.
It's a way of deep cleaning the teeth, like in between the teeth. It does
right,
work.
And I mix... Okay, and coconut oil, and I mix in about 4 drops of oregano oil extract. Most nights I sleep with xylitol drops to help with dryness. Also, don't skip flossing. I do this every night before bed. A response to that, I got my first crown and had 2 fillings. I think it's from all the vitamin loss and from my gut issues. The gift that keeps on giving. Another, I have had 1 tooth pulled, a bone graft, a gum graft done already, need the exact same done on the other side of my mouth, just haven't scheduled the procedure yet. Prior to my jab, the worst thing I had done was 1 root canal. Next, I've read a lot about how the vax has affected different people, and some theories are that it has affected the gut and how it functions, which it does. Which cavities and teeth make sense when you think about it in that sense? Malnutrition causes tooth health to be poor as well. I would look at boosting gut bacteria as well as trying to rid the vaccine results. Go ahead and finish those next 3 remarks.
Another one says, at 56 years old, I had 0 cavities at the dentist 2 years later, and I've already had to have 3 teeth pulled. After never having a cavity in my life, I 100% believe it was the jab. Another one, I've been using S. salivarius. It's a probiotic for oral health. I didn't learn about it early enough. My teeth are a mess too. But I read it can help stop cavities forming. I also do coconut oil pulling. It is said to be antibacterial and beneficial. And the last one, I would recommend getting a fluoride prescription toothpaste, and then every time you go to the dentist, have them put the fluoride cream on your teeth that they give to kids. I forgot what it's called.
There's no evidence that fluoride stops cavities, not that I could find, and I've looked.
Well, yeah, if you put it on topically, I mean, the thing, you don't want to swallow it. There's no benefit to ingesting fluoride, but... if you want to remineralize the teeth, it does have some benefit. But
all right.
I would say, you know, the other consideration here is alterations in the microbiome of the mouth. And there may be more acid-forming species that have taken up residence.
Could be. You see, this thing has so many tentacles, it's ridiculous. It's like a mass of spider's web. Okay, that's going to wrap it for tonight. We're running late. Thanks to all of you for being here. Good job, partner.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
We'll be right back with hour number 3 after this.